one into the night, deep into right, way out of here.
Swung on,
did it,
crushed, and the Phillies are going to lead it.
Harper, the swing of his life.
The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, struck him out.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. Coming up, the Phillies' nightmare April continues after Wednesday night's loss to the Cubs. 8 losses in a row. The worst record in the National League now, tied with the Mets, and only a half a game better than the worst record in baseball owned by the Kansas City Royals. We'll talk about the first few games of this series against the Cubs, and we're going to get real about the 2026 Phillies. You guys ready for a little bit of reality? I'll give you some reality about these 2026 Phillies. And we're going to talk to Jeff Warren about it all. He is the host of the Philadelphia Sports Table podcast and web show. And we'll get his thoughts on everything that we've been seeing over these first few weeks, and especially over the last few days as the Phillies are continuing to flail. But before we get into all that, just want to ask you all to please give a 5-star rating and a review to the Hittin' Season podcast if you're listening to us on the Apple Podcast app. And again, would ask for you guys to follow us on Spotify. That helps grow our audience over there as we are trying to make some inroads on Spotify, that platform app. So that would be most beneficial if you would do that. And you can also send an email to the Hittin' Season podcast by sending it over to hittinseason@billypenn.com. All right. First three games of this series against the Chicago Cubs, continuing some brutal play by this baseball team that we all thought was at least going to be good enough to get to the playoffs here in 2026. And that could still happen. But the Phillies right now are playing like a bunch of pathetic failures, and there is absolutely no sign that it's going to get better anytime soon. You could see that manager Rob Thomson, in his post-game press conferences, doesn't know if and when it's going to get better. He doesn't know. There are no buttons for him to push. There are no more lineup changes that he can make. You can mix and match all of these different guys all you want to. They're still the same guys with the same batting averages. They're not going to play differently hitting sixth as opposed to hitting eighth, or hitting fifth as opposed to hitting ninth, or whatever it is that Rob Thomson wants to do. After 3 straight losses to start this 4-game series in Chicago, the Phillies enter Thursday 8-16, tied with the Mets for the second worst record in baseball. The Mets broke their 12-game losing streak on Wednesday night. So the Phillies now with the longest active losing streak in baseball. It stands at 8 after Wednesday night's 7-2 loss. It is the first time they've lost 8 in a row since September 20th through the 28th, 2018. When they had a 9-game losing streak. The Phillies have also lost 12 out of 14 right now, and this is the most damning number. Their negative 50 run differential remains the worst in baseball by a staggering 15 runs, and only the Royals at 8-17 have a worse record than the Phillies as we record late in the evening on April 22nd. Folks, it's just not getting better. It's just not getting better. You think that at some point, it will get better, that these guys will start to hit a little bit, or that the starting pitching will give you something, or that the bullpen will be able to avoid the injuries, the catastrophic injuries that they've been dealing with here over the last couple of days. But no, there's not a sit, or that the defense would start making some nice plays. We saw the defense. We saw Brandon Marsh and Bryce Harper make a couple nice defensive plays on Tuesday night. But then on Wednesday night, Justin Crawford drops an easy fly ball in center field that leads to a run in the second inning. I mean, it's all aspects of the game. In Tuesday's 7-4 loss, Phillies pitchers walked 10 Chicago batters. On Wednesday, the Phillies offense struck out 12 times. It's the 11th time in 24 games. That is nearly half of their games in which they've reached double digits in strikeouts. And they did not draw a single walk on Wednesday. They have scored just 16 runs in their 8-game losing streak, averaging 2 runs a game. Now, they did get a hit with a runner in scoring position on Wednesday. Edmundo Sosa hit an RBI double, knocking in Alec Bohm from second base. Before that hit, the Phillies had been 0-26 with runners in scoring position over their previous 6 games. This team just cannot string any hits together. There is not enough offense in this lineup to string anything together. Again, they walked 10 batters on Tuesday. I forgot that they also hit 2 batters in that game. There was a wild pitch also thrown in that game by Jose Alvarado, who has since gone on the injured list, joining Joan Duran on the injured list with back spasms that he dealt with in that inning. In the game on Wednesday, Phillies pitchers gave up 13 hits, including two home runs. And Taijuan Walker gave up the cycle while he was in the game. He didn't start the game on Wednesday. He came in after Kyle Backes started as an opener, and he picked up innings two through five. And on his own, gave up a cycle. He gave up an RBI double to Pete Crow Armstrong, a triple to Alex Bregman, an RBI single to Ian Happ, and then a solo home run to Michael Busch. Walker also surrendered a two-run homer to Seiya Suzuki in the fifth inning. Five runs, four earned on eight hits in four innings of work for Taijuan Walker, who will... Everybody wants to see Taijuan Walker out of town. No one wants to see Taijuan Walker ever throw another pitch for the Phillies again. But because this team does not have starting pitching depth, you can be assured Taijuan Walker, especially with Jose Alvarado and Joan Duran unavailable in the bullpen, Taijuan Walker will move to the bullpen. I don't expect to see him much, but I don't think they're just going to release him or designate him for assignment. Maybe that happens when those other two relievers are ready to come back. But the Phillies, they need Taijuan Walker in case there's an injury. He's not going to make another start for this team, but I don't think you're going to see him go away. But Jason Stark noted the slash line for opposing hitters versus Taijuan Walker this season. Hitters are batting .353 against Taijuan Walker with a .417 OP on-base percentage, a .657 slugging percentage, and a .1074 OPS. He compared that to the year Joe DiMaggio hit in his 56-game hitting streak, in which DiMaggio hit .357, .440, .643 for a .1083 OPS. In other words, Taijuan Walker is making every hitter look like Joe DiMaggio in 1941. So I hope it's the last time we see Walker on a big league mound for the Phillies this year, but I do not think it will be. I think that he will go to the bullpen, and we probably will see him again at some point this year. Oh, and the bad news gets worse this week when JT Realmuto was placed on the injured list ahead of Wednesday's game. He had missed, remember, those games against Atlanta last weekend because he was during a play at the plate, jammed his back. And so he missed the first game against the Cubs, played on Tuesday, and apparently on a wild pitch wrenched his back again. So he is now on the 10-day injured list with back spasms. Who knows how long he'll be out of action because, again, he's not a young man. Not a young man anymore back there behind the plate. So now you're going to have Rafael Marchand and Stubbs splitting time. Garrett Stubbs splitting time with Rafael Marchand. This is not a potent catching duo. And Rafael Marchand also hitting under 100 so far this season. So just you look up and down the lineup, and let's get a little bit real about the 2026 Phillies here, because coming into the season, I still thought that this was a World Series caliber team. The players who are playing right now, who are performing the way that they're performing, it's out of character for them to be playing this badly. And clearly, there is something psychological going on with this group. You've heard me talk about this all offseason. I thought this was one of the biggest reasons why the Phillies needed to change some things up this offseason. That's why I thought Dave Dombrowski needed to change some things up this offseason. Because you keep running the same guys out there who have the same problems, the same inconsistencies, and the same inability to get over the hump in October. It really doesn't matter what their regular seasons have been. You've got a group of players who have to feel as if the task in front of them is not going to be possible. And it feels like, as you're watching this group, that they are playing with an enormous amount of pressure on them. They know, because it's their expectations as well, but they know that the fan base, that everyone involved with the Philadelphia Phillies understands that nothing really matters except for October success right now. The Phillies have won back-to-back divisions. They've had a lot of great moments in the regular season. They've had some great postseason moments at the beginning of this run. The only thing left for this group to accomplish is a World Series title. And I think it's difficult to go through a regular season knowing that, yes, you do need to win these games in order to get to the playoffs, but you could win 110 games here in the regular season, and it doesn't really matter if you don't win the World Series for this group. Those are the expectations, and the expectations for this team to perform are weighing on them so much that they're out of character at the plate. You know, even though some of these players who I'm not convinced are really very good players are better than this. It is unusual for an entire team to go into the tank like this, and it's affecting everything. The starting pitchers are putting too much pressure on themselves to be perfect because the offense isn't scoring. And that forces them out of action early. Jesus Luzardo was out before the end of the fifth inning because he was up at around 100 pitches because he's trying to nibble everywhere. Aaron Nola was doing the same thing in the first game of the series on Monday night, trying to nibble. And that means the bullpen has to pick up a lot of slack. And now you've got a bullpen that's kind of breaking down a little bit. You've got some guys who are on the injured list, some important guys who are going on the injured list. The pressure, I'm just worried that the pressure, the way they lost with Orion Kerkering throwing that ball to the backstop in game four against the Dodgers last year, I worry that that was just the straw that broke the camel's back. That was the incident that just became too much for this group. Because it feels like the dam finally broke on these players, that the pressure got to be too much for them. With all the postseason failures, they came into the season with so much pressure on them that now they can't get out of this cycle. Now, I do think they will, but how much damage is going to be done to their postseason chances before they start playing more like themselves? Because this isn't a bad team. This is not a bad baseball team. We have seen this team can be a very talented team, but they have not experienced a stretch like this since 2022. They have not experienced anything like this, this group of talented players where there is talent all over the field. This is not a 90 loss team, not unless they have a lot of injuries or something during the course of a season, but they desperately needed to shake this team up and get new blood in here this past off season. And Adolis Garcia wasn't the answer. And bringing Justin Crawford up wasn't the answer. We talked about this on the last podcast a little bit. This team needed an injection of some new life and some fresh energy into the group, and they didn't get it. And this was a failure by Dave Dombrowski not to make any significant changes to the roster this offseason. And trying to sell us on Otto Kemp as a real answer. And this is also on John Middleton for refusing to allow Dombrowski and the rest of the group to just spend the money needed to get a real cleanup hitter and real outfielder on the roster. I thought that Michael Stubel on Twitter made this point, and I think he's right. The Phillies have used money in the past to mask their problems for years, but there's no hiding from a decades-long failure to develop any star bats, rotation depth, or elite relievers. The entire organization must be upended. Now, we don't know exactly what Justin Crawford and Andrew Painter are going to become. They could become stars. But the Phillies have not produced a star-caliber offensive player since Chase Utley, Ryan Howard, Jimmy Rollins. They just haven't. If you want to call Rhys Hoskins a star player, I guess you could. I don't think I would call him a star player. And certainly one star player since Jimmy Rollins, Chase Utley, and Ryan Howard came up ain't getting the job done. So maybe Justin Crawford is going to be a star bat. He might be. And maybe Andrew Painter is going to be a star pitcher. We've seen this club develop pitching. We know that they can do that, but they have not developed enough. Like, you see some of these teams, they just bring up these young electric arms to throw out of the bullpen, and just one right after the other. The Phillies don't have those types of guys. Like Seth Johnson? Seth Johnson's not that guy. You know, like, guys like that aren't getting it done. So they've got to go outside the organization. They got to pay everybody to come in and do stuff. And that's why you run a payroll near $300 million and you can't go out in the offseason and really help the bats out. And maybe Aiden Miller will be a star, but dude can't get on the field because he's got a bad back. Like, you just look at all of the things that are going wrong in this organization with this team right now. It feels snake bit. But here's the problem. What are you going to do about it? If you're Dave Dombrowski, you can't do anything right now. You could I mean, I seriously think he needs to just move on from Alec Bohm and Bryson Stott at the trade deadline and see what you can get for them. They've just got to get a different mix in here. They've got to take some of these guys out who have proven over these last 4 years that they're not going to be star caliber players. They're too inconsistent to be depended upon. And so you're probably going to, I would certainly make those kinds of moves. But here's the problem. You can't upend this organization. You can't start a new rebuild. Not with Trey Turner and Schwarber and Harper and Nola and Luzardo and Sanchez all signed to long-term deals. You just can't do it. But you look at the desperation of the, you know what reeks of desperation is that Rob Thompson, who couldn't use Alec Bohm, or Adolis Garcia, and with JT Realmuto on the injured list, is turning to Felix Reyes, the young kid they just brought up from AAA, their rookie making his second and third career starts, a kid who has never been on their top prospect list, but who looks pretty good. That's because he has a pretty powerful bat. They're making him their cleanup hitter right now. This is a $300 million payroll. And the rookie who you just called up, making his second and third career starts, who has never been a top prospect for you, he's your cleanup hitter. Now, look, I'm all for doing something different. I'm all for thinking outside the box. But making Felix Reyes your number four hitter is an indictment on Dave Dombrowski. And Dombrowski had the nerve this week to say the Phillies don't really have a number four hitter. We don't really have a number four hitter. Yet we knew this during the offseason. When you decided Alec Bohm was good enough to be that guy, or when you thought Adolis Garcia was going to be good enough to be that guy, the fact the Phillies don't really have a number four hitter is on you, Dave Dombrowski. I mean, you could have gotten a Eugenio Suarez for cheap this offseason to at least get a bat in the middle of that lineup. And now you're subjected to using Felix Reyes again, who I like, but he had four at bats under his belt before being put in the cleanup spot. If that doesn't tell you the desperation and the lack of answers this team has to fix this offense, I don't know what else you need. Thompson did shake up the lineup on Wednesday night. Schwarber back in the leadoff spot. He went 0-for-4 with two strikeouts in the game. Turner hit second, dropped down to number two in the order. He went 1-for-4. Look, the problems are everywhere in this lineup. Schwarber's OPS is great, 878. He's the only guy hitting for power. His batting average is 207. So that's a little bit of an issue, but of course you'll take the power from Kyle Schwarber. Turner is hitting 235 on the season. Trey Turner hitting 235 with a 639 OPS, and the numbers against left-handers. This is a guy who should be wailing on left-handers, and he is just not doing it this year. Alec Bohm went 2-for-4 on Wednesday, bringing his batting average and OPS all the way up to 146 and 412. Bryson Stott did not start against another lefty, but came in for Edmundo Sosa once a righty was brought into the game and went 0-for-2. His batting average is 203. The OPS is 495. And Adolis Garcia, in his last 14 games, has a 146 batting average. He has 7 hits in his last 48 at-bats, a 255 on-base percentage, with 17 strikeouts, no home runs, 3 extra base hits, and 1 RBI. That's the big power bat the Phillies got this offseason. That's why they're playing Felix Reyes in the cleanup spot. It is an indictment on the people who put this team together that you're asking Felix Reyes to be your cleanup hitter right now. It just is. There's absolutely no other way to put it. It is a failure for a $300 million payroll when you haven't lost anybody to the injured list to have a rookie making his second and third starts in his big league career as your cleanup hitter. It's absolutely unacceptable. But it's where we are right now with this team. And again, I do think the Phillies will probably rebound. They will absolutely play better at some point. This is not a 100 loss team. But at 8-16 with a negative 50 run differential, they are playing the worst baseball this group of players has ever played. And right now, nobody has any answers. And joining me to talk about the Phillies here in the midweek as they are three games into their four-game series against the Chicago Cubs and in the midst of one of the worst losing streaks we have seen in this era is Jeff Warren. He is the host of the, one of the co-hosts, actually, of the Philadelphia Sports Table, a fantastic Philadelphia sports podcast video show that I have been privileged to be on numerous times throughout the last, I don't know, 8-10 years that we have both been podcasting. And it's a fantastic show. If you're a fan of all four Philly sports, it's probably the best place to go. So you should make sure you check it out on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, any place you want to go. Jeff, welcome to Hitting Season again. How are you, my friend?
I appreciate it. I'm okay. Look, I know we're talking Philadelphia Phillies here. Philadelphia Flyers have been absolutely killing it. They're 3-0 in this series. We do have the Sixers, unfortunately. I don't think they're going to get past the Celtics. The Philadelphia Union absolutely stink, and our beloved Philadelphia Phillies. Oy. Things are rough here, buddy.
The Flyers have outscored the Phillies since last Saturday, which is not great. Not great for anybody.
Right.
I mean, it just feels like as we watch this team now, it's so out of character. And that's what's so weird about this. I think we all this offseason hated the plan that Dave Dombrowski came up with. And we hated the fact that they were bringing back mostly the same roster to give it yet another try. And I had been saying all offseason long, I felt like the Phillies were ignoring the psychological aspect of continuing to bring back the same guys in the same circumstances, trying to get over the same hump without much new blood. And everybody kept telling me Justin Crawford, Otto Kemp. Otto Kemp lasted 16 games, by the way. That's how much confidence Dave Dombrowski had in Otto Kemp as an answer in the outfield. So, but I keep expecting these guys to snap out of it at some point. Like this should be a playoff team. This roster is a playoff roster. And so watching them play the way that they have been playing over the first 3.5 weeks of the season really is shocking. And I can't get over and figure out and come up with a good, real, rational reason why a lot of these players, some of whom are very streaky, like Bohm and Stott and all these guys, they've had their ups and downs. I'm not enamored with those guys in particular, but they're not bad players. That everyone is playing bad in all aspects of the game. What is where are you at on this Phillies team? Why is this happening, do you think?
Well, I look at John, you know, you go through the history of the Philadelphia Phillies, and there have been great moments with this franchise. There have been real low moments with this franchise. We go back to the low moment of 2015. This club was also 8-15 through its first 23 games. Now, tonight, they lost again to the Cubs, so they're 8-16. That team, that 2015 team, finished the season 63-99, part of the rebuild low point. But the point is, this team that is currently constructed isn't like that 2015 team. It is absolutely astonishing to me, the talent that's on this team, the pitching in general that's on this team, the bullpen, and yes, I know there's some injuries with the current bullpen. I am absolutely baffled that they are in such a rut right now. They're not like the 2015 team in terms of talent on this team. The talent is there. I don't know how the spark is going to inevitably happen, because at the end of the day, we're talking about it on the Philadelphia Sports Table podcast show this week. Bottom line is four things. Offense is not producing consistently, starting pitching, underperforming expectations, the bullpen instability, and again, the injuries, and just the sloppy, low execution, lack of fundamentals baseball that we're seeing. And I don't think over the course of the next week, you're going to be able to turn those four aspects of this team that need help around. It's going to take some time based on what we're seeing here. I don't know how they get back into it, but of those four aspects that I just mentioned, one of them needs to turn around really quick and really soon.
Yeah, they've got to start figuring out something to hang their hat on. And yes, one would reasonably assume that it's the starting pitching that you would do that. And on Thursday afternoon, Christopher Sanchez will get the chance to be the Phillies stopper. But you've got to score at least a couple of runs for him. I mean, the last time out, he pitched phenomenally and gave up 3 unearned runs because the team only got 1 run for him on the Felix Reyes homer against Chris Sale. Right, I think that was the Chris Sale game. Like, they were not able to generate anything for Chris Tristan. So they've got to do something. The offense, the other parts of the team have to do something. But it is going to rely on the starting pitching to get their act together, because we know the offense is inconsistent. We know that this offense goes to sleep, and what has carried this team over the years is the starting pitching. But, you know, because we live in an era of three wild cards, they're not out of it yet, even despite the 8-16 right. record. And I wrote an article for The Good Fight about it this week, and I didn't, you know, it doesn't give me any great level of confidence. But there have been a number of division winners with records like this in recent years through their first 25 games, and I'll read you some of them. The 2024 Astros started the season 7-18, and they finished 88-73. The 2015 Rangers started 9-16, as did the 2006 Twins. The Rangers finished with 88 wins. The Twins finished with 96 wins. Yeah, they went on like a, what is that, a 90-70 heater at the end of that season. The 2006 Padres and 2005 Yankees both started 10-15 and won their divisions. And then you have wild card winners. The 2001 A's started 8-17. They ended up winning 102 games as a wild card team. You had the 2014 Pirates, the 2009 Rockies, and the 2007 Rockies all started 10-15 and ended up winning wild cards. So, I mean, these types of finishes were impossible before the advent of the wild card. Like, you get out to a start like this, your season's over. And so a lot of teams would just give up in May and June. When you know I'm already 20 games back, there's no point. There's no point in playing. There's no point in being aggressive at the trade deadline. That's not the case anymore. So it really just does depend on what do you think has to be the thing that this team starts doing well in order to turn it around.
I know some folks might not like to hear this, but, and we've talked about this before on our podcast as well, John, I think there is a time and a place for small ball to be played. And I think just hitting the ball, getting it into play, something that Alec Bohm has done pretty well during the course of his tenure on this team, that those little sparks of small ball, I think, can get this team into a good place. Now, we know run differential has been absolutely horrendous as well. Through 21 games, they were minus 38, 44, and 22. I mean, last week was baseball's worst run differential.
Well, but I mentioned at the top of the podcast, it's negative 50 after yes, Wednesday's game 50. Against the Cubs, yeah. which is 15 runs worse than the next closest.
Yeah, it's incredible. But to get that spark, I really do think a small ball base mentality needs to be in play. They got to get on base. And yes, we know that there are issues with runners in scoring position, and that's been a consistent theme, it seems, over the past 2 to 3 years anyway with this team. I don't think it can be all about the power right now. They need to start making contact with the ball, putting the ball in play, singles, doubles. Let's see if we can get something generated. We need something foundational here. I think that's how they can get that spark.
I remember there was Mike Schmidt used to always talk about when he would be in a slump, he would ask the manager to put on a hit and run for him, because it would help him get locked into shooting the ball to right field and to keep him from getting too pull happy. Phillies just don't do that. Phillies don't do hit and runs. No one, nope. Really, no one does a hit and run anymore. Nobody right. does hit and runs anymore. But that's the kind of thing like you're talking about. That's the, you know, I'm not saying you get a leadoff walk, you sacrifice them in a second. That's just bad baseball. But I think you get a leadoff double, you know, maybe you do sacrifice them to third, especially if you've got some struggling hitters coming up. And just to kind of get people doing positive things, right?
Yes. Like anything at this point, yeah. anything at this point. Yeah. I a phrase I like to use a lot when it comes to, I've used it a lot with the Flyers over the years. I've used it a lot with the Sixers over the years. You can't fall out of a basement window. So you have to try something. And I think what you're talking about there, it's a great reference with regard to Mike Schmidt and what he used to do. That's the type of ball they need to try to start playing.
So there's been a lot of conversation about Rob Thompson, right, and his future. And when you have high expectations and you fail to meet them year after year in the postseason, and then you come out and you have this kind of a start, obviously there's a lot of questions about his future. And he's only signed through next year. It was only a deal, an extension to give him the status of not being a lame duck manager coming into the season. But it was not a vote of confidence contract. You know, like I thought there was a real chance he could have been let go after the playoffs this past year. But the Phillies decided to bring him and the entire staff back. So how much rope do you think he has? Like what What would be the scenario under which Rob Thompson is dismissed in a way similar to how Joe Girardi was dismissed for him?
Where this continues to happen at the end of May. I really do. If this is continuing to happen at the end of May, where the run differential that we were just talking about is still absolutely putrid, if these guys are not able to get any sort of power, any sort of spark, and if the starting pitching, for whatever reason, and even leading into the bullpen, mainly the bullpen, I should say, is just, if he's making questionable decisions, as we've seen him do in the past, I think that every reason for him to be dismissed, if we are seeing this right now, what we are seeing as we're recording this on Wednesday, April 22nd, if this is still happening the last week of May, there needs to be a decision made at that point. I mean, there's another coach on this team that was a manager in Major League Baseball before. It's not like they're going to need to do a huge search, in my opinion. I've always been a fan of Rob Thompson's, to be honest, John. Yeah. I really have. I don't want to see this happen. But you can't keep this going on for too much longer.
Yeah, no, we've been Rob Thompson supporters on this podcast, certainly called him out when he's made some mistakes or made some calls that I certainly have questioned, but I think he's overall a good manager. But there does just come a time when you need a different voice in the clubhouse. And I agree with everyone who says this is on the players. I couldn't agree more.
Absolutely.
With that. But sometimes you need a new voice to help the players break out of whatever it is they're doing. Of course, there's a lot of calls for Kevin Long to be fired, you know, and at this point, I'm not against anything. I felt like the psych, I feel, Jeff, and I said this earlier in the podcast, and I'm curious what you think. One of the big reasons why this team needed to shake some things up this offseason was the psychology of the whole thing, right? You come into a season with this burden on your shoulders, and you know that this regular season is all just going to be a prelude to October. There's no joy in the regular season for these Phillies now because they know none of it matters. None of what's happening in these 6 months to Phillies fans anyway, to the fan base, to the hardcore fan base, none of it really matters. They could win 110 games in the regular season. And if they go out early in the playoffs again, it will be a broken season, right? So you come in as a group collectively knowing that. And you've got all these, you know, you've got these failures on your shoulders in the playoffs, and you're just the same group coming into the same place, trying to get the same monkey off your back. And I really felt like this. I really feel like the psychology, especially of the way they lost to the Dodgers last year, the psychology of that needed to be shaken up. Like they needed some different voices in the room. And I was thinking, you know, could Justin Crawford be that? Could Andrew Painter be that? Get some young guys in there, but they're not strong enough personalities like a Jimmy Rollins was to really shake up a clubhouse and inject some fun into the proceedings. You know, so I mean, that was part of the issue I had with Dave Dombrowski's offseason was it didn't seem like that was a factor at all. So what's your confidence level in Dave Dombrowski right now? Would you consider him a good GM or a good team president who makes, you know, head of baseball operations? Is he still good?
It's a great question. It's a great question that needs more discussion, I think, and more discourse for sure. Yes, I do at this point, because I think he's put the team in an overall good position with the talent that is here. And I think it goes back to what we were just talking about. It's absolutely the players on the field at this point. It's not necessarily Rob Thompson, but it's the players on the field. I'm still confident in Dave Dombrowski because he's taken the team, an organization, and franchise and raised it to a certain level. We want that level to be higher, but he has raised it. I don't think there's any argument necessarily there. So I am at this point still confident in Dave Dombrowski. If you don't mind, though, John, I want to go back to the sports psychology aspect of this situation with the Phillies that you were just talking about. A couple years ago, we had a sports psychologist on the podcast talking about how and why players go through slumps, how and why players absolutely excel at times, what gives players sparks, just athletes in general. We can look at, again, the Philadelphia Flyers right now, the sports psychology going on with that team, they are killing it right now. And they are at a high-level mentality of, we are going to go out there and we are going to murder this team and we are going to win. The confidence level from a sports psychology aspect is so high. And this stuff is not talked about on broadcasts. This stuff is not talked about necessarily in a lot of news articles. We're talking about it here on a podcast, one of the reasons why I love podcasts. But then you also have sports psychology that is like the 76ers. You've got Joel Embiid consistently injured. We're talking him going through the amount of injuries he has over the years. It's so bizarre. It plays into the sports psychology of how the team is going to end up playing on the court. We're seeing it with the Phillies right now. They are in their heads. The sports psychology aspect of what you're talking about is so, I think, critical and important. And whether it's various broadcasts or broadcasters, I wish they would talk about it more. And I don't want to, and you can seriously get rid of this in your editing if you want. This past week, my daughter, USA Gymnastics Regional Championships, her very first event, she absolutely killed. It put her in a great mindset. She ended up getting second overall in the entire competition.
Good for her.
Because of that. Yes. Yeah, I'm not saying that to like, yes, I'm a dad bragging right now.
No, but
what
brag,
I'm saying
absolutely.
Is the sports psychology of her absolutely killing it on her first event helped propel her. And we see that with professional athletes all the time. Football, baseball, basketball, soccer. We see it all the time. Sports psychology needs to be talked about more. I'm so glad you brought it up. And we got to talk about it more.
Well, and this is truly a unique situation. I mean, I know Jason Stark from The Athletic wrote about this this offseason. Like, you just don't see teams keep bringing back the same group of players who have continued to fall short in the playoffs and keep getting bites at the apple the way the Phillies have done. And so I know how I would feel. I would feel like, here we go again. You know, here we go again. And clearly, we are dealing with a situation with this Phillies team, specifically the lineup, where they're caught in between, right? I think Matt Gelb had a really good article for The Athletic on Wednesday talking about how passive the Phillies have been in the strike zone this year. I think they're swinging at something like 4 or 5% fewer pitches in the strike zone, and have increased actually their swing percentage, their contact percentage out of the strike zone a little bit over last year, like 2%. So
yeah, they've got a real weak contact profile for sure.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, it's their weak contact. They are not doing damage on hittable pitches, especially pitches in hitters counts. They are not ready to hit the fastball at all. Even in counts when they should be looking for a fastball, they are not ready to hit one. And Jeff, their inability to hit left-handed pitchers
so far here
in 2026, it's unfathomable. And I want to chalk it up to just a slow start, and it might just be a slow start, but it might be a slow enough start that kills their season. And so
it could be. You mentioned Bryson Stott. I think Bryson Stott is batting somewhere around like 182 or something like that. And just the guys that we needed to see this season take that next step, the guys who are in their prime, Bryson Stott, Alec Bohm, the nothing burger that they are continuing to give and just generating any consistent type of run production, it's so very disappointing. Because, I mean, as somebody who has been defending these two guys now, it seems like forever, and I really thought that things were going to turn around for them this year. I don't even know what to say. I'm like lost for words.
Again,
you can't fall out of a basement window because they're in the basement, but still, they could be in the basement for a while.
And Adolis Garcia has been the disaster that I thought he was going to be. Clearly, we're seeing the last 2 years were not fluky numbers. That just is who he is. Last thing, Jeff, on the pitching side, Taiwan Walker, has he made his last appearance with the Phillies? He got blown up again in Chicago. He didn't get the start on Wednesday. They had Kyle Backus start the game as an opener, and they had Taiwan Walker come in starting in the second inning, and he pitched 4 innings for the Phillies, gave up 5 runs, 4 of them earned. Do you think it's the last time? Do they release him? Do they put him in the bullpen? Given the shortage of starting pitching depth this team has, how do you think they handle Taiwan Walker?
It should be his last time for sure. Maybe put him in the bullpen, see what he can give you there, see what type of role he can possibly give this bullpen, given the situation the bullpen is in right now. Because, John, I was really excited when the season started. Like, the first couple weeks, we saw more defined roles for the bullpen. And obviously, because of the injuries that have happened, they've gotten away from that. They've had to get away from that. let's maybe try Tywin Walker out there. You have to try something. And I think that's where I think it's a something good to leave this conversation with, is that they have to try something in various aspects of this team. Try Tywin Walker in the bullpen and see what he has. And if he can't get it done in the bullpen, outright release, I'd be fine with that.
Well, it's still early, and I agree with everyone who says that it is still early.
It is.
And especially with a 3 wild card system, you can get off to an awful start and still recover. It is just really difficult to see this team going on an extended run. This team has made us look stupid in the past when they've struggled and we've given up on them, and then they come back and they end up winning 85, 90, 95 games and making the playoffs. So I'm certainly not discounting that possibility, because if you had to bet right now, Jeff, do they make the playoffs this year?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to say yes.
I think I lean that way too still.
Yeah. I still have that faith, because I know what this roster is and I know what they have in them. It needs to be brought out.
The Philadelphia Sports Table Gang, that's the podcast you want to subscribe to on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you can get your podcast. That's the podcast Jeff Warren co-hosts. Fantastic. If you like what you hear on this podcast, make sure that you check out the Philadelphia Sports Table. Make it a part of your weekly Philadelphia sports consumption. Jeff, also on the socials, how do people follow you there?
We're on the Twitter/X at Philadelphia PST. You can also search us out on Facebook as well. We're on Instagram too. Just search out the Philadelphia Sports Table. You're going to find us out there on various social sites.
All right, Jeff, thanks for coming on Hitting Season again, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks so much.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for this edition of Hitting Season. And of course, again, if you want to tell your friends and family members about the Hitting Season podcast, if you want to try to convince them to listen to content about the Phillies, hey, I'd love it. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast. And you can also watch the roundtable editions of the podcast over on the WHYY YouTube channel. Just subscribe over there and send us an email. Tell us what you think of the show, any comments, any voice memos you want to leave for us to play on the air. We'd be happy to do that as well. HittinSeason@BillyPenn.com. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.